Welcome to the Voice of the Force podcast for The Bad Batch. My name is Dan, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ed and Noma.
Hello, hello.
We are covering the final season this this episode, but we're not on the final episode, Ed. What episode are we on?
Today we are discussing the events of episode 4 of the final season of The Bad Batch. A different approach. We're going to discuss what happened in the episode, what may happen in upcoming episodes, and if we found any Easter eggs. How many did we find? If our theories change from our last episode to this episode after seeing this one now. But again, a lot of people's might have actually, because of things we've talked about, things because we will mention today. But if there's anything we miss or something that you want to add to the discussion, please contact us. There's many ways to do so. Noma's going to give you a few now. If you miss anything, they'll be in the show notes as well. And we're going to repeat this at the end of the episode.
Absolutely. One of the easiest ways to get in contact with us is our email. Might as well go with that now that I've said it, which is voiceoftheforce@gmail.com. What I was supposed to start with was our website, and that is voiceoftheforce.com. Now, on social media, we're on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. The handle for all three is @voiceforcepod. As always, retweeting and reposting our new episode tweets does help with growing our listener base and is very much appreciated. You can listen, rate, review, follow, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and all major podcast platforms. Reviewing us with 5 stars and a comment helps with visibility, and you can subscribe for free for the latest episode as soon as it releases. And if you want to catch us if you want to catch us in real time, then you can also take a look at our Twitch streams. We are at twitch.tv/voiceforcegaming. We stream right now 3 days a week. So if you're interested in that, on Tuesdays right now at 10 p.m. EST, me and a friend of mine, Roomba Friend, are both doing a Elden Ring co-op stream. So if you want to see a PNG tuber and a VTuber dying their way through Kaelid, which was how we did last session, then you can, you know, take a look there, see a little bit of fun stuff. We're going to try, I don't know when this episode is going to come out, but the next stream is probably going to be us getting the last piece of the Dectus medallion. So we've got to go back to Kaelid. And then I'm going to take Roomba on a scenic tour of Altus Plateau, and I'm sure nothing bad will happen.
Good luck on Kaelid. That'll be fun to go back to there.
Oh, it's been bad.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I tried taking him in through the Celia Crystal Cave Tunnel, and
I forgot
that the boss was Falling Star Beast.
Yep.
Do it.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's a couple bosses I hate in Elden Ring with every fiber of my being, and Fallen Star is in my top three.
What? Why?
Oh, the beast sucks.
The Falling Star Beast is fucking awful.
Yeah, it's
not great. The baby beast.
The baby ones are bad. The one at the top of the mountain and the crater is bad.
They're all bad.
Just terrible.
They're all just really hard to kill.
Ugh, it's just a nightmare.
Bludgeoning weapons will do nothing. You cannot swing them in time.
It's just a nightmare. So if you want to join in on that nightmare, Tuesdays 10 p.m. EST, on Fridays at 6 p.m. EST, I am doing, if you don't know, I'm part of an ARMA group. ARMA is a military simulator, but I'm part of a Star Wars group called the 91st Mobile Reconnaissance Force. So we do our operations on Fridays at 6 p.m. EST. If you're curious in what that looks like, there's a bunch of clips on our Twitch page. I'm either in the armor division or Zeus, so I'm basically controlling all the enemies. Either way, it's always a really fun time. Really appreciate when people come out and take a look at that. And on Saturdays, currently, we are doing a Mount and Blade 2 Bannerlord playthrough, where we've gone through a crazy wacky isekai. That hurt to say just a little bit.
A little bit.
But we are a Mandalorian clan that is going through a medieval fantasy world and we're going to try and carve out our own kingdom, which is the hardest thing to do. That's what makes it fun. So yeah, if you're interested in seeing that stream, that is Saturdays at 3 p.m. EST. So we hope you'll catch us there. We've been super, super happy and thankful with the people who've been coming out and lurking or chatting, does not matter which, and dropping a follow. We've got a couple free emotes. I'll try to add some more. But yeah, twitch.tv. And that's everything.
All righty. And with that said, let's get into the spoiler warning before we get into the episode. Because if you haven't read, sorry, this is not a book. If you haven't read the subtitles while watching this episode,
if you haven't read the Disney Plus description.
Yeah. If you haven't watched episodes 1 to 3 or episode 4 of Bad Batch season 3, we recommend going do that first, because this will kind of be a little bit out of the depth of what you know so far about the Bad Batch in this season. So go do that first, come back, listen to us, and we're going to get into the synopsis for this episode. Noma, the credits are yours.
This will take forever to repair.
No, there's no time for that.
We need to get the nav reader online to extract the coordinates to Tantus for when we go back.
We're not going back.
We left the other prisoners behind.
The Empire is going to be searching for this ship and us. We have to move.
Thank you, Dan. So yeah, this is Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 4, A Different Approach. The writer for this episode is Ezra Nachman, and the director is Saul Ruiz. As always, if I've mispronounced anybody's name, I do apologize. I was about to say appreciate, because my brain isn't firing on all cylinders at this point. But yeah, without any further ado, let's get into the synopsis. So we pick up basically right after the end of the last episode. Crosshair and Omega are in their damaged, I think it's like a Mu pattern troop transport. It sustained a little bit of damage as they were escaping Tarsus. So they are forced to crash land on the planet. We're never told, but from what I see here in the synopsis, it is called the planet Lao. Oh, no, I think we are told, but we're told right at the end of the episode, so I'll bring that up when it happens. So they make their way to the nearby city, and from there, they decide to basically look around. They see there's a bunch of TK stormtroopers that are there, and Omega basically thinks, oh, are they already after us? And Crosshair goes, no, this is just the Empire now. So they opt to go to a nearby spaceport, and Crosshair opts to basically, he has a funny line, which is, I can kill half of the stormtroopers here before they even realize what's happening. And Omega's like, okay, maybe we don't kill everybody, though. And so tries to bribe the clerk who is in charge of departures to get on board without a TK code. Or not a TK code, sorry, a chain code. However, that will cost them 30,000 credits, which they don't have. So they attempt to get the money through other means, and that ends up being through gambling at a cantina. So that works for a while. Omega has clearly learned a lot from, I don't even think it was from Sid, I think it was from the Weequay and the Ithorian, who hung around Sid's bar, to basically...
Sid did play with her.
Oh, did?
Yeah. No,
but she played Djeric, right?
Yeah, she played a different game with her, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen this game ever. I looked at some behind-the-scenes stuff. Okay. This game was specifically made for this episode. They actually play tested it and created it to see if it was actually an interesting game and if it would work. And they did, and it worked, so they put it in the episode.
It looks like a weird cross between like solitaire and like Texas Hold'em or poker.
It's yeah.
Really interesting.
Did you get the name of it? I can pull it up if you want.
No, I never heard them mention it at all.
Balons. Two A's.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, if it's fun, then that would be neat. It almost reminded me of, I'll talk about this later because it's not relevant to the synopsis, but another game, another made-up game from a Fallout series. But yeah, so basically, Omega manages to win quite a few credits. They're interrupted when a very wide, let's say, Imperial officer shows up who's apparently in charge of the planet. And he's clearly corrupt because he's taking bribes, and he plays a couple of hands against Omega, loses, and then immediately turns around and is like, oh, by the way, bribery or card games are illegal here, so you have to pay the fine for that, which is, I think he thinks that it's half of the money that she's made, because he says it's 10,000 credits, and they were playing for 20,000 credits. But then when they leave and Omega and Crosshair talk, it turns out they have 35,000 credits. So now they have enough for the tickets and a little bit extra. But it turns out that when the Imperial officer left, he took Batcher with him. So they decide to pursue. Crosshair's all for like leaving Batcher behind, but Omega pulls the like, fine, you know what, if you don't care about Batcher, you take the credits and leave, I'll figure something out. And there's a nice part in it because Omega points out that they would have never escaped Tarsus without Batcher, and then she throws the money to him and goes off, and you can clearly tell Crosshair's thinking, well, I wouldn't have made it out without Omega. Plus, it's Omega. I'm not going to leave the kid behind. So it's pretty clear what's going to happen. So Omega starts to sneak into this like shipping port where they've got all these animals in cages. Crosshair follows and points out, I love how I hesitate to use the word tsundere because it seems really like cringy, but like how grumpy he is with the situation, because he shows up, is like, I'm here to help, by the way. This is an incredible waste of my talents. And I'm just like, okay, noted. And so they go in to try and steal steal Batcher back. They figure out where Batcher is, but the Imperial officer has learned about the crashed Mu shuttle and has put two and two together. So he's obviously, this is an ambush that is set up so that not only is he bringing them in for humiliating him at cards, but also he's already told Hemlock that they're here, because he's realized from the crash shuttle what all this means. So Omega goes, okay, we'll try this Crosshair's way then. And so Crosshair opens fire. It's a pretty interesting firefight, because basically they set up earlier in the spaceport that like there's one person controlling all of the controls on the cages. And so I was like, okay, so it would be a good plan if they then take this platform over and then release all the animals. And that's exactly what Omega does as soon as Crosshair starts firing. So they let all the animals go. They trample a bunch of the stormtroopers, which is kind of hilarious. Omega goes to steal the cargo shuttle that they were all going to be loaded onto with Batcher. And Crosshair holds all of the TKs and the officer off. We get a cool moment where basically, they did a really good job of setting it up where the Imperial captain, even though none of them have names, has a stormtrooper that's like his number one and his number two. Because you can see that the number one is carrying like this big credit case, and the number two has this like cool goggles over his stormtrooper visor and like a leather coat and stuff like that. So the number two takes a single shot at Crosshair and then dies. Or no, he doesn't die, but he gets shot and like knocked down. Crosshair gets onto the ship. The Imperial captain tries to chase them, but I don't know what it was, but some animal cage opens and this tentacle like grabs him and pulls him inside, and it's assumed to have eaten him. He does hilariously pull the doors shut as he's being pulled inside, so we can't see what happens. But I was wondering if it was one of those things from episode 7, because it's like, it's just like a couple
of the tentacles. Raptors, yeah.
Sure, I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah.
Because it had that same kind of like tentacle thing, but I think theirs were more like suction cuppy. So I'm not,
yeah, they were like big squid thing, like almost like maws of tentacles. Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't see the actual main body, so it's hard to tell. But either way, as the cargo shuttle takes off, the number two stands up and gets the Crosshair special, because he's standing right in front of the engines as they go off. So you see him get flung away as the shuttle takes off. So we get that nice little moment where Omega and Crosshair have realized that they've managed to escape, but they know that they need to ditch the shuttle because the Imperials will be able to track it. So we actually get a scene of Hemlock saying, you know, track the shuttle, give some words out to my operatives. He's standing over the crashed Mu shuttle, and then it immediately cuts back and Crosshair is like, we need to ditch the shuttle. And Omega's like, yeah, I know. So we cut to another, I think it's like a moon that they're going to.
Hemlock's first moon. Well, they met Hera that one time in the Bad Batch.
Oh, interesting.
A little bit of research.
Explains why they can breathe on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they land there, and we see the... I thought it's weird, because like the angle that they show, I thought it was going to be like, oh, it's Rex and Echo that they're meeting up with, because it looks like a ship we've never seen before. But then the second shot is the Marauder. And so it's like, oh, okay. So it's just a weird angle they showed for the first part. So we get a nice, really touching reunion with Omega and Hunter. Sorry, Omega and Wrecker, and then Omega and Hunter. They're super impressed that she managed to escape. And so Hunter eventually asks, like, oh, how did you escape? And Omega says, oh, with help. And so we get the shot of Crosshair coming down the ramp, and they were ending it on this, like, tense reunion, which is interesting, because I've got some thoughts about that. But that's the episode. That's the main synopsis. So overall, it's good. I mean, it's a really nice thing. I do actually like that the Bad Batch weren't really involved with rescuing Omega this time. Kind of shows how she's coming into her own. And with that as well, her personality is in a place that I really appreciate, because you can still see that she has a lot of her, like, kind of like innocent and like good thoughts that go through her head. Like when they get to the spaceport, she's like, what if we release all the animals?
Yeah.
And Crosshair goes, don't push your luck.
Yeah. And then she did. Yeah.
And they do manage to, because it's a smart thing. But I do like how she doesn't complain. She's not like, what? No, like, that's great. She's like, yeah, okay, we're here for Batcher.
And we got to get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the mission takes priority. And so and there's another moment as well where when they're getting out of the shuttle, Crosshair's like, what are you doing? We have to go. And she's like,
oh,
well,
we have to
pull the coordinates for Tarsus so that we can go back there.
Tantus?
All the prisoners Tantus, behind. Yeah. Or, yeah, sorry, Tantus. Because we left all the prisoners behind. And Crosshair's like, no, we don't. We need to get going.
Yeah, we need to recoup. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can see Omega's like, oh, but I want to, because I think it's the right thing to do, which it is. But also we really do need to focus on
if you go in, you're just gonna get caught again, and then everything was for nothing. Yeah.
Well, and how we don't know how much time it would take to pull all the stuff, right? And
yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it does make sense. So I really do like how she still has all that positiveness, but she's very grounded, and it's clear that the Bad Batch lessons are she's learning from them. So the one thing that was interesting with the card game was it also almost reminded me, and this is like a nothing thing, but it almost reminded me of Caravan, which is a game in Fallout New Vegas that is, it looks horrendously difficult to play, and then as soon as you learn how to play, it's ridiculously easy.
Okay.
Caravan's a lot of fucking fun.
It's funny, too, because like most people will play Fallout New Vegas, and I know I did on my first couple playthroughs, and they show you the rules for Caravan, and you're like, this is a nightmare. This is fucking terrible. And then I watched one tutorial, and I was like, no, never mind, it makes sense. And it just immediately does. So it's just that it has a bad description, but I'm curious if
I have some information about it.
Sure.
So the deck for each person, or I think the shared deck, consists of 5 red and 5 blue numbered cards, which you see on each side of the table when they're playing them on their sides, as well as face cards consisting of destroy, 2 destroy cards, 2 deflect cards, 2 bluff cards, and 2 steal cards, as well as 4 block cards. And the game includes a near unbeatable hand called the 3 Eastern Stars. There's a full rule set that they created and art for all the cards. And then in the episode, they actually, with Lieutenant Man and Omega playing, like the Imperial guy, they cut the main moves down in an effort to just show the main moves to make the episode go a little quicker. And that's off of the episode guide for the Bad Batch on the website, StarWars.com.
Is his name actually Lieutenant Man?
Yeah, it's Lieutenant... Or Captain Man, yeah. Lieutenant Man Captain Man, yeah. M-A-N-N.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
played by Harry Lloyd.
Like I get it. He's not a super important character, but it's like, yeah. Oh man, have you seen the new Captain? Captain Dude is here.
Yeah.
He's coming in with Lieutenant Guy.
But he was played by Harry Lloyd, who played in a few things. Final Fantasy 16 as Ultima. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 as Z, or Zed. Arcane as Victor. He was also in American Dad as the Butcher, and a whole bunch of movies and stuff, but also the Game of Thrones series. He played one of the dragon people from the new show, I think.
The dragon people?
Yeah, like the House of Dragons episode stuff. I think
one of the Targaryens.
Targaryens, that's it. Thank you. It's been too long.
Targaryens.
Yeah, I think he played a Targaryen. Let me double check that. But
what's his name again? Because
Harry Lloyd.
Harry Lloyd.
He played Viserys Targaryen. Oh, in the Game of Thrones. Okay. No. Game of Thrones Conquest and Rebellion animated history. He played Viserys Targaryen's voice.
Oh, okay. It wasn't actually Viserys.
Yeah.
I was gonna be like, no, I thought the guy had a different name.
In the Game of Thrones TV series, in the original TV series. Yeah. He played Viserys Targaryen in that.
Oh, so he is Viserys now.
Yeah, from the original series, not the House of Dragons stuff.
Oh, cool.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Well, this time he does love money, but he doesn't get a crown of gold, so, you know. But yeah, that's basic. That's like the majority of my thoughts on it. I've got one or two others, but I don't want to take the entire podcast. So, Dan, what did you think of this episode?
I thought it was interesting. I'm glad that they actually escape, because like, are they gonna get like caught, or is there gonna be like a near miss where like they just make it out of there, which they kind of did, but they also kind of had control of that situation when everything went to hell with chaos with all the animals. I did like the spot where what's his name? Hemlock, Dr. Royce Hemlock, he goes up to Nalase and he's like, it's funny how she got out of here, right? And she's like, oh yeah, I don't know how that would have happened. And he's like, well, you're going to have to see what's going on here with the blood samples, because every time you try to do it, apparently never had a match, but this one did. And she's like, yeah, there's false positives all of the time. So it was interesting the back and forth there to play politics a little bit on that, because like Royce Hemlock doesn't have the understanding of cloning that she does. So like she could be telling you the truth, or she could be playing, you know, coy, which is what she's doing, right?
That's part of the thing that was like kind of weird to me, because, and it might just be part of Hemlock's character, but he talks the entire time like he has the power in the conversation. But it's like we saw from season two, he can't get Nalase to do what he wants without Omega.
Right.
So they're just back at that again. And so he's like, we have ways of making you like help us. And I'm like, do you? Because you need to get her again.
Well, they might be working on other people coming in to do the work. Because if you remember the assistant lady, I can't remember her name.
Emery.
She was working on the stuff when Nalase was out. So maybe she's kind of learned a little bit more about the process and can actually like start to do tests and stuff, and then even maybe move forward past that.
That's true. I feel like then
there might be more people involved.
Different, yeah. Because then it would have been like, well, we might not need you for much longer.
That's kind of what the situation was when he said that. He was just like, well, we'll see if you're actually needed, basically. So who knows? I think it was just an interesting episode. I really loved how Omega's like, we're going to try it my way. They tried it. They made a lot of credits, but then the dog gets missing, and then they have to buy the dog, and they have to do all this and pay the kid. And they're going through the credits very quickly. And then Crosshair's like, can we finally do it my way? And she's like, yes, we can do it your way. And they just guns a-blazing getting out of there. So,
I mean, to be fair, though, and what I also liked is you can see a moment when Omega throws the credits. And
yes.
Like, are they going to leave it behind? And no,
they
very clearly show Crosshair grabbed them. So
yeah.
They made out.
Right.
Like,
that was
30,000 or 20,000?
3,495, because they paid the
35,000.
No, they paid the kid 5 credits,
and they had 40,000 at that point.
No, they had 35,000 when they left the bar.
I thought he asked for 10.
Sorry, they had 3,500 when they left the bar.
Yeah,
I can't remember if the kid asked for 5 or 10.
He asked for 10. They gave him 5.
No, he asked for 10,000 first.
Yeah. Yes, and then he got 5,000.
Yeah, Crosshair goes, I'm getting tired of this. And then he goes, okay, 5.
Yeah.
So yeah, so 3,000. So 3,495.
Yeah, they have quite a bit of money,
I think. Yeah.
So
no, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with me?
35.
Sorry, 30,000.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, 34,993. Yeah, 34,995.
Let's round it to 35.
And I'm great at math. Yeah, seriously. But yeah, so a good amount of money.
And then we had like the Trandoshan guy in there that was gambling with her at first, and he just lost everything, which is great.
Yeah.
I did like their like disguises that they brought in too. Made them look like more travelers than anything, which was good. Yeah, I think overall it was a pretty straightforward episode. Good to have everybody back together, minus Tech and
Echo.
Echo. Thank you. So we'll see if maybe we get Echo back, or they meet up with Rex to help maybe get the people off of Tantus now that they, A, have a lead to where Tantus is, as well as they know Omega and where she came from. So maybe with that knowledge with Crosshair and her, they can figure out where Tantus is and maybe rescue everybody. So we have the Bad Batch vs. Commandos yet again, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have the Bad Batch versus, like, what is it, Delta Squad, and they just like one for one, they're going through like one of those training modules where it's like droids are coming up as well or something, and then they're like fighting through it. That'd be so much fun.
That would definitely be,
I'm just down for it.
It also feels like this is a really easy way to pull Rex and Cody in now, of being like, you know, not only are we taking out Hemlock so we stop chasing Omega, but you have access to so many of your fellow brothers who are in prison now.
Very true. And it'll be interesting to see, like, if they get these clones out, are they going to start to pull the chips out of their heads, or is that done and gone now that they've realized what they've done? Like, what is that situation? Because we don't really know yet. Crosshair his chip's still in there, but I think it's malfunctioned or something.
It looks like it's basically gone at this point.
Yeah, like he's got his wits about him, but I think he's also been messed with enough where like they could have fried it or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But Ed, what did you think?
I enjoyed it this episode. I especially enjoyed the Imperial officer at the games they were having, especially when she tried to pull the whole like, oh, I'm a newbie at this. I don't know how to play, and just fleeced the Trandoshan to the point where when the officer came in, he's just like, all right, yeah, let's see what you got. Complimenting the whole time. It's like, what trick do you have? What play? Then she puts down the Deus Ex Machina. And when he gets up, I really thought he was going to be one of those officers that was just like, yeah, well played. Okay, bye. But of course.
Minute. He was for a minute. And then he's like,
it's Disney, though. Yeah. So like, no, they have to be evil. So yep. make him take the money. I thought he was going to lock them up at first. Like he knew who they were. But of course, then they find the shuttle. I was not notified a shuttle was coming in today. Like I loved his accent so much. So it was just like, okay. That part of the episode I think was my favorite as well as the end. Because I did fight the tears, I won't lie. I almost cried too, and I was just like, okay. They're back together sooner than I thought. So it's just like they really want to build another team before the finale at this point is what it felt like to me then. Mm-hmm. Because when Crosshair walked out, you see both Wrecker and Hunter like clenching their fists. And I was just like,
yeah, they were wary because the last time they had an encounter with him, right?
It's like, okay, I get it. It's like first time you kind of left, then shot at you. Then on Kamino was kind of awkward and weird, but not terrible. And he kind of left him, but he didn't want to go with you. And he's been through so much the last little bit that, like, I appreciated that they didn't say anything because they were trying to play like this, like, well, let's wait and see. But it's just like, Hunter, you're supposed to have all these, like, pheromone scenting things, skills, whatever.
Eden senses, spidey senses. Yeah.
Can you tell? It's just like, okay, yeah, he's wary too because he didn't know if you're going to shoot him or not.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, play calm, like, tell Wrecker stand down, be like, all right.
It's definitely complex emotions on that one.
It's like you get the how they're created and what they're supposed to do, but then you get the humanity brought into it where it's just like, well, I know how this is, but is this how this is?
And I love how they left it on somewhat of like a cliffhanger with that. Yeah. Like they didn't say anything and it was just kind of just, it ended with them standing
there. Because I bet that since she was visiting him almost every day, he would know that Echo is not there anymore. Did Omega saw what happened to Tech, so he would know that too.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, what's happening or what's gonna happen.
Yeah. So. And that part of that like standoff that was a little bit kind of funny to me. Mm-hmm. Was kind of what you said there, where it's like, Crosshair's done some not great things to the Bad Batch, but the majority of his like actual horrible deeds were not committed towards them.
Yes, it was just the fact that he betrayed them after all the things they've went through, and like coming to terms with like maybe he doesn't have his faculties. Right?
Yeah, but from my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
Yeah,
it's that kind of betrayal, right? Except where it's not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
you were following the things you were made to do, and you stayed, whereas they rebelled and left.
Yeah,
he was already borderline, and then they amplified the chip, and he was just like hardline.
And so it was kind of funny where I was like, well, it just made me glad that they weren't like immediately hostile, like
exactly.
Get out. Where it was like, yeah, you know, like you said, like it's kind of weird and tense after Kamino. So it's just kind of like, of course it's going to be, oh, is he still with us? And Omega's going to have to vouch for him, but. You know, considering how solid everyone's logic has been so far, I feel like by the next episode, it'll just be a road bump.
Yeah.
And also, man, at this point, by the time they find Tech, he better, like, look like a, like,
friggin' dead. Isn't he dead?
I don't believe it.
Noma wants him to be alive.
I think he's
so
dead,
bad.
Man.
You know, he might be, but I literally, if I do not see a body, I do not, or I
that
do
is
not
fair.
See him die on screen.
It's the One Piece syndrome.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's I get you.
It's anime syndrome is the thing.
True.
Yeah, that's all. That's very also
because
very true.
Because with these ones, just like, what do you mean? It's Iriadu and he fell off a fucking mountain. He's dead. It's just like
what?
I could accept that.
He's at the Carrion Spike, surviving.
I need the show to tell me he actually is.
Yeah,
exactly.
Versus like I'll never forget Grimmjow getting, like, quote unquote, taken out by Neutra.
Yeah.
But you never see him. Yeah. So everyone knows he's dead. I was like, he's not dead. Like, what was it, 3 to 5 years later, getting the vindication of, oh, look who's here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The off-screen bullshit doesn't, yeah, it doesn't happen in anime.
Look at, yeah, I mean, yeah, and also from Bleach. Oh my god, I can't believe Aizen killed Tia Hullabelle.
Yeah.
Oh no, she's in the next arc, but then doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, One Piece is Pell, or it's just like,
oh, there's many instances.
Yeah, but no, Pell's the most egregious.
Yeah, like, where he blows up with a bomb, like, untied to his feet, essentially. Yeah,
it was better, right? So, not like, you know, 100%. I'm like, at this point, I'm just waiting for Tech to show up and be this, like, weird Iriadu Tarzan. Where, yep, it's like, yeah, I survived.
He went to the carrion spike.
Yeah, seriously.
He survived. He fell down. The carrion spike's so tall, he just grabbed onto it, and then he just let himself down. That's all.
like something like that. Yeah. But I'm still expecting it to end with, like, the full team back together,
like, so, if his arm's like torn off and he's got like a mechanical arm, that'd be kind of cool.
Different than Echoes, please,
not like a little scomp
link. The goggles are gone and he's just got this like grizzled face, he's fighting the Veermach.
Oh my god.
Like, I totally see it being something where he shows up and like half his armor has been replaced with like, you know, chitin.
Yeah,
and
that'd be kind of cool.
Hardened leather and stuff, so, like that.
He's still a blaster.
Like an absolute hard man, but then he starts talking and it's like,
yeah, he opens it, exactly, right?
It's just like, oh man, that's some badass armor. You like Wrecker, yeah, says or something. It's like, actually, the scales from this thing,
yeah,
actually,
you start talking about what they are.
5%. So that it's like, oh,
it's definitely,
yeah. Oh man,
that's still what I'm banking on, but you know, we'll see.
We shall see. I think next episode it'd be interesting to see them trying to escape, like trying to leave, and then they like the Imperial either Star Destroyer comes in or some sort of like vessel that's tracking that other one.
I hope they were smart.
They're just like right on the edge where it's like they're just about to get them and boom, they're gone.
Well, I hope they do the smart thing where it's just like, you know what,
the vessel
that gives you time, we'll talk later, let's just get out of here for instead of having this like huge, yeah,
don't wait,
thing on the planet. There, you've already said they're tracking this ship, it's an Empire ship, we need to ditch it and get another one.
Absolutely.
So it's like, just get in the ship, take off, and there we go.
Yeah.
Unless they put some kind of tracking in Crosshair.
Yeah, that's the thought that I had too. Up,
but that would be the first thing they'd track if they did, so.
Yeah.
But the only thing I think goes against that is if they had that, they wouldn't have been tracking the Mu shuttle. They would have just
The Mu shuttle, they didn't necessarily track. It crash landed and then the stormtrooper or the TK.
Sure, but that's what I mean. They would have avoided that whole thing.
Yeah, they're just kind of, yeah, they're just like, we know where he is. Yeah, that's true.
But this is the perfect setup for, and now if they want to bring Asajj in, because you're just like, okay, well, we have to do everything we can to find her. Well, contact the bounty hunters. Who do they contact from the bounty hunters?
Fennec Shand. No. Yeah, that's true.
Would make more,
she was in it already, right? She was already hired by them.
She's in it already.
Yeah.
She let her go. Don't hire Fennec again.
Yeah, okay. She's a good assassin, not a good bounty hunter. Any last thoughts on this episode, guys?
Tough,
it was a quick one. Not a lot of meat to it.
The only other thing I can really see happening this season that would be interesting is it turns into like this weird game of cat and mouse where like the Bad Batch is hunting for Tantis.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bad Batch is hunting for Tantis while Hemlock is hunting them. And that could be an interesting back and forth, but I don't think they'll do that immediately. Like Ed said, I think the first thing is like get out of the sector, regroup, lay low. What's up?
Piggybacking off that, the reason they would go to Tantis is because if Rex joined up with them, be like, we got to save our brothers who are still there, then they have to go find Tantis. Because right now, the only reason they want to find Tantis was to get Omega. Now that she's back, they just go to Pabu and fuck off and say, we don't got to do anymore. But if they're still in the fight, that's the last clone bastion that we know of at this point in time that's still around that they could do something about.
I think the interesting thing too, just kind of talking on like a meta level a little bit, we have the next episode is only one, and then the one after that is two episodes as like a mid-season thing.
And they're releasing two?
Yeah, so it's episode 5, episode 6 and 7 together, episode 8, episode 9, 10 and 11 together. 12, 13, 14, 15. So, like, the ones that are coming out in the end are not going to be stacked together. It's going to be individual episodes week by week.
And they're not taking, like, a break or anything? They're just
no, it's going straight through. Yeah. I think it's because it's, like, a tied-up storyline, probably, like, a mini-arc.
Maybe.
Looking at the names of the episodes, it looks like that. So, yeah. Very cool. I think that does it, guys. Let's get into the outro. Welcome to the outro of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the episode of The Bad Batch. And Ed's going to let you know how you can get a hold of us to let us know what you thought about this episode and anything else that we're covering on the podcast. Or if you want to talk to us about the stream on here as well, you're more than welcome to do that too. And Ed, without further ado.
Yes, if you want to get in contact with us, it's 10,000 credits per
thing. Actually, we'll lower it to 5.
You can find us over at voiceoftheforce.com, where you can find past episodes, more about us, and all this contact information. Our email is voiceoftheforce@gmail.com. On social media, we are on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. We are at VoiceForcePod. Anything we post, if you do happen to repost, retweet, like, anything like that, it does help grow in our listener base, and we really do appreciate it. Like Noma said earlier, we are on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/VoiceForceGaming. That is every Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. Keep your eyes on Instagram or Twitter for those updates, live updates. Say, hey, we're going to be streaming in like the next hour or something like that. So keep your eyes on that, especially around the times of 3 p.m. for Saturdays, 6 p.m. for Fridays, and 10 p.m. for Tuesdays.
That is
correct. Is that 9 p.m.?
Nope, 10 p.m.
10? Perfect. So keep your eyes on Twitter and Instagram for that. And please listen, rate, review, follow, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and all major podcast platforms. If you do leave us a 5-star review and a comment, it does help with visibility, so the next person you tell will find us that much easier. And when you do subscribe, which is for free, you'll get the latest episode information as soon as it releases, whether that be through, hey, you got a phone notification through Spotify, or any one of those other podcast platforms. It'll let you know there's a new episode out.
Thank you, guys. And remember, good soldiers never follow orders.
That's a lie. If you're don't listen to that. That's crazy.
Ed's like, no, he has to follow orders all the time. I love
you
it.
Filthy rebel. What are you trying to do?